just there's something about weekends when it's rainy and cool outside. Most folk like the bright and sunny weekends, and that's fine. That's fine. I like those too, but I prefer the ones when it's raining outside and it's chilly, because you know you can just come inside. If it's cool enough, you can start a little fire or what have you. You know, the older folks, y'all know what I'm talking about, because older folks year round they start a fire. Amen. I mean, if it got below 50 degrees outside, they'd start a fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the older house would just get cold. I mean, it stayed cool in the older house. Amen. These new houses all insulated and all that stuff. Amen. Okay. Let's call your attention to the book of Mark. That's where we were last week. We want to go back there and we want to pick up at the very next verse. Verse 31 of Mark chapter 7. Amen. Mark chapter 7. And while you're turning there, I want to share three reasons with you why I'm so excited about today. First of all, I'm excited because God is in control. Amen. In spite of how bad things look in the world, God is still in control. He can reach out and touch it whenever he wants to, whenever he gets ready to. He can get up off the mercy seat and come get us and clear all this stuff up. Second reason why I'm excited is because it's a word coming from the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful and glad that he has called me and chosen me to share the gospel. But the word is coming from the Lord. Amen. Amen. And thirdly, I'm excited that we've got so many smiling, shining, saved souls in God's house today. You could have stayed home, but you chose to come out and hear the word of the Lord. And because you did, give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. The scripture says not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but you ought to think something of yourself. Bless the Lord. Okay, now that you've given yourselves a hand, please, praise now, let's focus on the word of God. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. And also, I want to thank Pastor Richard H. Lefevre. Amen. I want to just thank him and his lovely wife for being here and for bringing those books about that testimony, about how they were able to forgive the person who murdered one of their children. And let me tell you, I haven't even read the book. But I can't wait to read it, because on my way here this morning, Pastor Dr. Greer was preaching a message about forgiveness. And the thing that he was saying is that if you really want to upset God, if you really want to get God mad with you, hold a grudge. He said, hold a grudge. And he said, and God will get mad with you quick, fast, and in a hurry. Amen. Hallelujah. So I can't wait to read the book. And for those of you who pick up one on your way out the door, get that envelope and send him something. Amen. Send him something. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, look with me at verse 31 of Mark chapter 7. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Beginning at verse 31, it says, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed. And he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. I want to use for a subject just for a little while today, modeling Christian ministry. Modeling Christian ministry. Amen. Let us pray. Our merciful Father and our God who art in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for such a glorious day that you've blessed us to come here to your house of worship and praise and to fellowship one with another in corporate prayer, praise, and worship. We ask, Father, for forgiveness of all of our sins, that we may sit here in our tent doors and hear clearly with an open mind that in which you have to say to us, Father. Encourage us, rebuke us, instruct us, reprove us, For you know us better than we know ourselves. And it is you who knows what's best for us. God, we are here today because we want to better model our Christian ministries. Show us how, empower us to do so. We give you glory right now in advance, for we walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We find that all over the world today, all over television, all on the radio, people are modeling something that they want to sell or convince people to take part in. Is that right? We see on television where jeans are modeled, bathing suits are modeled, cars are modeled. You see those commercials where there's a nice, fancy sports car that's flying down the road and going around the curb at top speed, and there's either a handsome man or an attractive lady driving that car, and even though you have a nice car sitting in your garage and it's paid for and you don't need one, there's a thought that comes in your mind. Can I get a witness right there? It's a thought that comes into your mind. Whew, that sure is a nice looking car. Now, you know you don't need one. And some of us can't even afford to buy another one. But the thought comes in our mind that that's a nice car and we sure would like to have it. Why do you think that happens? Because they do such an amazing job of modeling what the car can do. And they do such an amazing job of painting a picture of how nice we would look sitting behind the steering wheel of that car. Amen. Hallelujah. And now also let's talk about clothes. Clothes. We see on television there's an attractive lady. She's wearing jeans and walking down the sidewalk, and we see those jeans and we say, wow. The ladies say, I'm going to get me a pair of those jeans. And we fail to realize that we are not the same size as that thin petite model wearing those jeans. Amen. Come on. Walk with me now. Walk with me. I'm painting a picture here. And we know that, but yet the thought comes in our mind that I would look nice in those jeans. No, you wouldn't. Amen. Amen. Now, it's the same thing for us men. For us men, we see maybe nice sweaters or nice jeans also, and the thought comes in our mind, oh, I'm going to get me a pair of jeans like that. I'm going to get me a pair of those jeans. And then all of a sudden, we get home, and we go to bend over, and they rip from top to bottom. Amen. Amen. The thing that we fail to realize is that everything that looks good on television isn't necessarily good for us. Amen. Amen. And just because it fits somebody else well doesn't mean it's going to fit you well. Hallelujah. But I've got some good news today for you. I've got some good news because there is something that we all can model that will look good on anybody who wants to try it out. Good God Almighty. And so therefore, today we want to talk about modeling ministry. Now, certainly there are many churches who talk about ministry, who pray about ministry, and who study about ministry, but yet are not very successful in modeling ministry. And so today we want to talk about what a good-looking ministry looks like and how we can put on ministry and carry it out in such a way to where when we walk down the street and when we drive our cars, that the people's focus is not on the jeans that we wear. Come on, somebody. The focus will not be on the car that we're driving, but it will be on the life that we are living and the characteristics we are displaying. You know, I knew this was going to be a good message. You know how I knew that? Because I knew that it would be a bunch of saved folks here who want to do better. Good God Almighty. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I got to give credit to the Christians, to the Christian Sojourners choir, because they sang so beautifully, and I was back there, and they just stirred me up. Amen. They just stirred me up. And so now I just can't help myself. So look with me at the text. Look with me at the text as we began to take a look at modeling ministry. We want to talk about 3 points that we need to understand and that we need to participate in and to have in our ministries if it's going to be a ministry that's going to cause other people to want to model it. Amen. Look with me, first of all, in verse 31. It says, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee. through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Now, remember last week we talked about this Syrophoenician mother who models some good characteristics about motherhood towards us. And we talked about her living in an area that was not so popular. And we said that she would have been an outcast, that Jews would have really looked down on her and wanted nothing to do with her and would have never thought that she could have ever in 1,000 years been or displayed the characteristics of a good, godly mother. But she did. She did. And we talked about that. And so Jesus had gone there to get some rest because he'd had an argument with the Pharisees and the scribes. And don't you just hate it when folk argue with your Lord? I'm setting somebody up in here. I said, don't you just hate it when folks argue with your Lord? Amen. He knows what he's talking about, doesn't he? He's never made a mistake. He's always been right, and he'll never make a mistake. But yet, sometimes folk argue with Jesus. But you know, every now and then when the word is preached and taught, we find ourselves arguing with the word. Can I get a witness in here? Amen. If you be quiet, I won't know who you are. Hallelujah. So therefore, we find that he's in the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Now what that tells us is that Jesus has left from the area of Tyre and Sidon. He was in those borders. So he's left from there and he's now traveling through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. That says to us, when you study the history, that Jesus is back in the area where he was back in Mark chapter 5. And if you study Mark chapter 5, you realize that Jesus had gotten into a boat, taken his 12 disciples, crossed over the Sea of Galilee, came to an area of Gadarene, and healed a man who was demon-possessed. Can I get an amen if you know that story? So he had healed this man, and when you go back to Mark chapter 5, and you look at verses 16 through 20, it says this. It says, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And it says, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. So what has happened is Jesus has gone down there. He's healed this man. And after the demons come out of this man and go into the swine, because it affected their financial gain in that area, they tell Jesus, get out of here. We don't want you here. And the Bible says in verse 18, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed to Jesus that he might go with him. And look at what Jesus says in verse 19 of chapter 5. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how greater things the Lord has done for you and have had compassion on you. And the Bible says that this man departed. And he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And it says, and all the men did marvel. Now, what am I saying? What I'm saying is the first point that we must understand about modeling a ministry is we have been delivered so that we can be a witness for the Lord. And somebody missed that. Because that was a shouting point. Because you see, the thing that we have to understand is that when Jesus comes through this area, the Bible says that they bring somebody to him and they want Jesus to heal this man. But the question is, how do they know about Jesus and what he can do? And the reason why they know about him is because when you've had a man hanging out in your community that is just as crazy as a bed bug, running around in the graveyard screaming and cutting himself, and folk are scared to go past that way because they don't know what he might do. And then all of a sudden, he comes back home to his wife and to his children. He's clothed in his right mind. He's talking about a man called Jesus who can do all things but fail. And he says to them, I wish he was here. You could try him for yourself. And I want you to know that if somebody ever tells you that they wish you was in the presence of Jesus, wish you could have seen it, if you desire it long enough, he'll show up. Good God Almighty. I said, he'll show up. And so you got to understand that you've been delivered to be a witness for Jesus. You can't model ministry until you understand that he brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light so he could put you on display. Lord have mercy. What am I talking about? When I say put you on display, this is the one time when you can show what you got. When you can walk around with your head in the clouds and saying, the Lord has been better to me than I've been to myself. And I'm not talking about being prideful and boastful, but what I'm talking about is the Lord wants to show people that you were an ex somebody, but because he touched you, he can bring you out and take a nobody and make him a somebody. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I said, you've been saved to be a witness for Jesus. Good God Almighty. And it's quite evident because you see, the fact that this man has gone back home and witnessed to his family and friends and told them what the Lord has done for him and how good he's been to him, they were sitting around waiting, Lord have mercy, I wish he would come back this way again. Because if he does, I've got some needs in my life. And you know, here's the thing. You see, when you start going to church, when you get saved, how many of you have kind of been embarrassed or ashamed to tell folk that you got saved? You don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it. And so therefore, the reason why we don't is because we know that people are going to reject us. And then some of us, when we got saved, we couldn't wait to tell folk. But when they weren't receptive to what we had to say, we got real quiet and we stopped talking about it. But I want you to know that this man here, in spite of how people responded to what Jesus had done for him, he didn't let anybody or anything stand in the way of the fact that he knew if it hadn't been for Jesus that stopped by those grave sites, that he would still be out there away from his family, away from his friends, and not clothed in his right mind. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Now let me stick a pin there and let me say this. Every last one of us has spent some time in graveyards. I wish I had a witness here. For the Bible says that you who were dead, now has he quickened and made alive. And what that means in Ephesians chapter 2 is that we were all a corpse. We were not only hanging out in the graveyard, but we were in the grave. Come on, somebody. And so therefore, we must know that we've been delivered to be a witness for Jesus. You got to get that. Touch your neighbor and say, you've been delivered? Now it's time to be a witness. Amen. All right. Now look with me at verse 32. I got another point for you. Verse 32. Look at what it says. Verse 32 says, and they bring unto him one that was deaf, had an impediment in his speech, and they beseeched Jesus to put his hands upon him. The second point I want you to see is that we must understand the nature of the individual's handicap. Did you get that? I said we must understand the nature of the individual's handicap. And here's what I'm talking about. You can't witness to an alcoholic unless you understand the nature of alcoholicism. Can I get a witness here? Let me go over to this side. You can't witness to somebody who has a gambling addiction unless you understand the nature of addiction to gambling. Can I get a witness here? Somebody still don't know what I'm talking about. You see, you can't witness to people who are on drugs until you understand the nature of drug addiction. Until you understand that when a person is addicted to drugs and it's no longer them that's making choices, but the drugs that are making choices. Come on, somebody got it. But the drugs that are making choices for them, then you can look past the person's faults and see their needs. I had a witness here. And so therefore we find in verse 32 that they understood the nature of his handicap. Because what they said was, they didn't just say this is a man who's demon possessed or this is a man who has problems. Jesus, this is a man who needs to get saved. Have you ever done that? Have you ever invited somebody to church? Then after they got to church, you whispered in the pastor's ear when you walked by and said, pray for him because he needs to be saved. Sometimes folk will do that. Come on. Sometimes folk will do that. They'll go out, they'll get folk to come to church, and then after they get to church, they speak negatively about them. And you know why? It's because of point number two. They don't understand the nature of the individual's handicap. Good God Almighty. They don't understand it. But look at what they said. They said, hey, they said, Jesus. They said, we got a man here, and one of his problems is he cannot hear. He's deaf. They understood. They understood that Jesus, this man is deaf. And don't miss it, saints, because it's important, even though they didn't have to tell Jesus, he knows everything, but they wanted Jesus to know everything about him so that he could meet the needs that the man had. First of all, Jesus, he cannot hear. He's deaf. And secondly, he has an impediment in his speech. He's not only deaf, but Jesus, when the man talks, he stutters so bad that you can't understand anything that he's saying. And so they understand the nature of this man's handicap. And then here's the problem that they do make, and we've made it too. They said, Jesus, just go on and put your hands on him and we'll take him on back home. God Almighty. That's what we want. We'll invite folk to church, and the first service we invite them to, oh Lord have mercy, be all right. And the first service that we invite them to, good God Almighty. The first service we invite them to, we want God to lay his hands on them and heal them at the first service. And it's not that God doesn't have patience, it's that we really don't have patience. You see, we've been dealing with them long enough that we want God to save them right then and there, because God, I've had enough. Come on now, do your thing, do your thing. When God is really saying this, they ain't the biggest problem. If you got that type of mentality towards them, then you the problem, God Almighty. So what God is saying is, I got to do some more stuff in you so you'll have more patience and understanding. Then when I do something in them, they'll be able to tolerate you, good God Almighty. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Oh, we got to understand the nature here. And so he says, they want Jesus to put his hand on him. Have you ever gone to the Lord and told him exactly how to fix folks in your life? I mean, it's not enough to pray for them, but we need to tell God how to fix them. Now, Lord, they got a problem with lying. They just won't tell the truth about anything. And so, God, I believe if you just touch that tongue, because, you know, James said the tongue is untamed. Just touch their tongue, Lord, so they'll tell the truth about everything. And then all of a sudden, we might have a person that may have a smoking or a drinking issue. And we'll say, Lord, next time they smoke, make them so sick that they won't ever want to smoke again. And then we'll pray, Lord, next time they drink a drop, make them sick, make their stomach hurt. We tell the Lord exactly how to save folks. That's a mistake. Because if truth be told, we don't know how to really save anybody. Amen. We don't have the power to save anybody. But we do have the power to model ministry and to be a witness. So I saw that in verse 32. They understood the nature of his handicap. Now, the fact that he's deaf, it doesn't say from birth, which means that he could hear at some point in his life, early in his life, something happened that caused this man to become deaf. And anybody who knows anything about the ears and about the speech, you know that they sort of go hand in hand. Because you see, your speech is not going to be good if your hearing isn't good. Amen, somebody. As a matter of fact, my daughter Eden, when she was real little, she had a speech impediment because when she was small, she had real bad ear infections. And because of her ear infections, it affected her hearing, which means when we were teaching words and talking in the house, she couldn't hear the words we were saying. So when she could say the words, she said them differently than we do. As a matter of fact, if you listen to her carefully, she still has a little bit of a speech impediment. And so therefore, when I read this story, I could really relate to this man and how he must have felt, and for the people in his life. And so he could not hear, which means that when they were preaching and teaching the word of God, he wasn't getting it. Somebody need to hear what I'm saying. Don't you know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? And don't you know at this time the Bible was not written in the New Testament, and perhaps maybe he didn't have an Old Testament scripture, and so therefore if he didn't read it for himself, he wasn't getting it. And then if he wanted to explain something to somebody, he couldn't talk because he had a speech impediment. And so therefore he's in a situation to where not only is he not saved, but he's in a situation where he can't even do ministry because Satan has apparently got him tied up and tangled up. But I want you to know that the Lord shows up. And when the Lord shows up, I want you to see my third point. It's in verse 33 and 34. The third point in verse 33 and 34 says this: and he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. The third thing is this: with every opportunity to minister comes a process. With every opportunity to minister comes a process. And this is where some of us in modeling ministry get lost, because it's a process. You don't just bring folk to church and they get saved. You don't just witness to them one time and tell them about Jesus and they get saved. It is a process. And I want you to see this process here. First thing I want you to see is in this process is in verse 33. It says, he took him aside. You see, when you are witnessing to somebody about the Lord, most people who want to hear about Jesus are embarrassed to talk about Jesus around their friends. Come on, somebody. But what you got to do is you got to seek an opportunity to get them by themselves and pull them aside. Because if a person has a problem and an issue in their life, they're going to be too embarrassed to talk about Jesus in front of other people. They ain't going to talk about their problems in front of a multitude of people. But if you can catch them by themselves, then you can witness about the Lord and they will open up to you about how they feel. I'm convinced that when Jesus pulled a man off to himself, I believe tears probably started coming down his eyes because he began to share with Jesus, "I want to hear, but I just can't hear." And he's talking in such a way to where Jesus may not have been able to understand him like we couldn't, but we know the Lord knows all things. So you got to see this process. He takes him aside, and that's to relieve embarrassment. But the second thing that Jesus does is he put his fingers in his ears, and it literally means to thrust into his ears. He put his fingers in his ears, and I believe Jesus did this, and as he began to practice sign language, that he was going to heal the man of his hearing. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? He couldn't hear, so Jesus couldn't talk to him. And that says something to us as Christians. When somebody has an issue in this door, and you can't go through that door because they got it locked, you got to tiptoe on around the side of the house and try to find an entrance where you can get in and minister to the individual. So Jesus sticks his finger in his ears because he's giving some sign language and saying, "Your ears, don't worry, I'm going to fix your ears." Good God Almighty. The third thing he does here in this process is he spit and touched his tongue. In other words, he spit on the end of his finger and he touched the man's tongue, which was to indicate that pretty soon, don't worry, you'll be able to articulate again. So he says, "I'm going to fix your ears," and he touched his tongue and said, "Yeah, you're going to be able to talk just like me." Good God Almighty. And I believe the man is starting to get excited because somebody is finally communicating with him in a way that's going to give him some hope. But the fourth thing that Jesus does is he looks to heaven. And when he looks to heaven, he's showing the man that the power ain't coming from down here. He's saying to the man, God Almighty, y'all need to see this. Y'all need to see this. Come here, Deacon Webster. I'm going to use you as a witness. Come here, quick, fast, and in a hurry. He goes up to the man. First of all, he pulls him aside. I believe he put his arms around him because, you know, Jesus ain't like most folk, you know. The man had a peach and sped him and he was deaf, so that means he'd have been considered unclean and nobody wanted to touch him. He gets him off to himself and he thrust his finger into his ears. And the man knows, uh-oh, he's doing something with my hearing. And then he, "I ain't going to touch your tongue, Deacon Webster." So then he spit on his finger and he touched the man's tongue. Amen. But after he does that, and then he looks at him and he goes like this. And I believe when Jesus looked up, the man looked up too. Because I'm sure the man was wondering, what is he looking at? And I believe Jesus looked up again. And I believe the man said, "What is he looking at? I don't see anything." I believe Jesus looked up again. And so therefore, Jesus continued to look up because it's in the continuous tense. So he continues to look up. Why does he do that? Because he's showing the man that the power that I'm about to display doesn't come from down here, but the power comes from up above. The power that I'm about to display comes from heaven. And if you want to tap into this power, you got to believe in me because it always comes from heaven. The scripture says in James chapter 1, all good and perfect gifts comes down from above, from the Father of lights. Can I get a witness in here? So he looked up towards heaven and he said, "It's coming from heaven." And then the last thing that he does here in this process is Jesus sighed, the Bible says. He sighed, which indicates that he was moved by the man's condition and that he cared for him. You see, we get frustrated when we have to get out of bed or go the extra mile to do a favor for somebody or to help somebody that doesn't want to help themselves, and we start to sigh. But our sigh is a sigh of frustration. It's a sigh of not really wanting to do it because it takes extra time on our part. Somebody say, "Oh, can you take me down to the store?" And our response is, "Oh, Lord. Every time I turn around, I want somebody to take them somewhere." Do y'all hear what I'm talking about? Somebody might say, "Well, I need you to come by. Can I borrow some sugar, some flour?" And the next thing we say, "Oh, Lord, here we go again. Always wanting to borrow something." Oh, gosh. We start to sigh out of frustration. But Jesus' sigh is not out of frustration. His sigh is out of the fact that he has compassion and that he cares for the man so much that he's bothered by the fact that he's had to deal with his circumstance for so long. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Good God Almighty. And so there's three things under here about this process that I want to bring out, and then I'll go to my seat. I want you to see under this process, let's go back and talk about his look. You see, the look was a visible indication of Jesus's life of prayerful communion with the Father. He wasn't just looking to heaven and saying that's where the power comes from, but he's saying I'm looking to heaven because right now I'm communicating with my heavenly Father. And that's a message for us Christians, because you can't model ministry if you ain't looking to the hills from which cometh your help, knowing that all of your help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You see, we got to be praying for our inner lives. We got to pray that our characteristics on the inside match up with the way we look on the outside. We got to be praying in detail for every member of our family. If something's going on in the household, we got to pray for those individual members. We got to pray in details. We got to ask the Lord to fix it however he sees fit. We got to pray for our neighbors that are living down the streets and stop talking about them shacking up and playing lottery numbers and not going to church on Sunday morning and playing loud music all hours of the night. But we got to pray for their salvation and for their souls to be saved. We got to pray for our churches. Come on, somebody. Not only for the church, but we got to pray for certain names in the church. We got to pray for certain programs that they're having. You know, when they're having them rally days, them hat days, when they're having them days where they ask you to pray for the size of the hat so they can get money brought into the church, we got to say, Lord, we pray that you would show them the right way to go about things. We got to pray for the needs of the church. The church is in need of workers in the church. Can I get a witness here? The church is in need of folk that's going to come together, though they're many, and operate as one. The church is in need of finances. Can I get a witness here? The church is in need of folk that are going to be faithful and committed. For the Bible says, truly the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are still few. I don't care how many we get, we still need some more. Can I get a witness here? So when Christ looked towards heaven, he said to us that we got to look towards heaven as we model this thing called ministry. But let's talk more about his side. It means that he was compassionate. It means that he was caring. The example would have been in John chapter 11. Remember when he raised Lazarus from the dead and folk came out to Jesus and they were crying and they were weeping and they said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. But I want you to know that when Jesus said to them, said, show me where he is. And then when they showed him where he was, he said, roll back the stone. Good God Almighty. Can't you imagine he'd been dead for 4 days? I don't know about you, but if I'd been dead for 4 days, I'd have been stinking right about then. So when they rolled the stone away, I believe a terrible smell came out. But how many of you know that no matter how bad you smell, Jesus still wants to touch you? Good God from Mount Zion. I said he still wants to touch you. He still wants to deal with your situation. So it demonstrates caring and compassion. And so the Lord gave way to such distress of the spirit when he rolled away the stone that it made his body tremble. He was so distressed that his body shook. What compassion that is. This is such a need for the healing process of the world today. We got to get to the point to where we're willing to reach out and touch somebody and put our arms around them. Come on, somebody. You know how it is when folk get to crying, when they got issues in their life, when they done lost a loved one. Tears began to run down their face and snot began to fall out the nose. Come on, somebody. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say you might not feel like hugging somebody that's been crying, but I stopped by to tell you that if you're going to model ministry, you shouldn't mind some tears falling on your shoulders. Good God, I'm from Mount Zion. You shouldn't mind putting your arms around somebody that's going through a difficult time. Jesus was one who didn't mind touching folks. And that brings me to the third point in that process. How beautiful is Christ Jesus? Don't you remember when the man was full of leprosy? His body had sores all over it, which means that he'd have had runs and infections all over his body. But the Bible says that Jesus touched him, which means he touched him and he brought him close to him. Because I want you to know that when God has given you the healing power to witness and to encourage others, you don't mind getting your clothes dirty. That's one of the things that I love about Wise Ministry down here, is when they show up at church, they ain't got to have a suit and necktie on. I'm starting to get there. I done took my suit coat off. I done took my necktie off. Lord, have mercy. I might show up in a t-shirt next time I come to preach. But I realize that when you come to minister on Sunday, you got to be ready to roll up your sleeves. You got to be ready to deal with somebody that's gone through some troubles in their life. You got to be willing to lock heads with them and pray on their behalf. Can I get a witness here? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that though Jesus knew no sin, he became sin in our place.
Jesus. Don't you see him on Calvary's cross when he's up there nailed to the cross and with the spikes in his hands and in his feet? I can see him on the cross. Don't you know it should have been you and I on that cross? Oh, but the Lord took our place. I want you to know that when he lay down on the cross and they drove the spikes in his hands, that's the same spot that your hand should have been. I want you to know it's the same spot that my hand should have been. And so when he laid his hand in that spot, he touched my hand and it touched your hand. Good God Almighty, when they laid his body down, that's where our body should have been. So when his body was laid there, his body touched my body. Can I get a witness? When they lifted him up on the cross and he struggled with breathing, I want you to know that should have been us hanging on the cross. We're the ones that should have been struggling with our breathing. And since he was struggling with our breathing, I want you to know he touched our infirmities. Oh, how beautiful is Jesus the Christ. I want you to know when he locked the head in the neck of his shoulders, it should have been your head and it should have been mine. How good is the Lord Jesus, our Savior? That means he touched us in the spot where it was. I want you to know they were casting lot at his feet. They pierced him in his side. They mocked him while he was on the cross. But I want you to know he didn't come down. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm so glad that he didn't come down. I want you to know that he looked down on him and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want you to know that I don't think I could have done it. I might have died in your place, but to ask forgiveness for those who were doing what they did to me. I want you to know that we got to get back to modeling ministry. When folk talk about us, we got to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you bend over backwards to help somebody and they still don't appreciate it, you got to learn to say, Father, that's all right. If you prepare me another opportunity, I'll help them all over again. Can I get a witness here? Is there anybody that wants to model Jesus? I want you to know the work ain't easy. Oh, I want you to know, and the road might get rough sometimes, but I want you to know that the burdens can be easy and the load can get light. For Jesus said, cast your cares upon me. He said, and take my yoke upon you. He said, and learn of me. He said, for my burdens is easy and my yoke is light. If we just learn to do it the way Jesus said to do it, I want you to know we can model ministry. And sooner or later, when we model ministry, somebody will say, what church do you go to? Where do you go to church at? How did you learn what you learned? How can you touch me? How can you look at me? How can you spend time with me? And then you simply tell them, there was a time when I was in your shoes and somebody touched me. Somebody spent time with me. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody encouraged me. Somebody had patience with me. Somebody shared the word of God with me. Somebody led me to the Lord. And all I'm doing is returning the favor. And so I'm just modeling ministry. Just modeling ministry. I'm just modeling ministry. I'm just modeling ministry. If people can get in their nice cars and model it, put on their jeans and model it, sit inside that beautiful home with the recessed lights and model it, if they can cut green grass, the landscaping companies showing their fancy mowers and the pretty green grass and model it, what's wrong with us modeling Jesus? What's wrong with us modeling ministry? We can do it. We can model ministry. But here's what we got to do. We got to be delivered in order to be a witness for Jesus. If you haven't been delivered, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you can't model ministry. Because as soon as something negative happens, you throw in the towel and you won't continue on. Now, Satan will slow you down in ministry. And he can discourage you in ministry. But when you've truly been born again, if you trust in the Lord, he can't stop you in ministry. And once you get saved and you realize you need to witness for the Lord, if you just understand the nature of each individual's issues, you can do something in that person's life. And then, with every opportunity, you know there's a process.
You might not lead them to Christ this week or next week, this year or next year. But if they're meant to be saved, God won't let them die until somebody leads them to Christ. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who for your first time heard about this man called Jesus and what he can do in your life. And that there's nothing that you've done that can be so bad that he won't touch you right now with his finger of love and his finger of grace. If you're that person today and you know you don't have a personal relationship with God through your acceptance of Christ, it is nothing to be embarrassed of. It is nothing to be ashamed of. Just raise your hand and put it back down. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Just raise your hand and put it back down. Hallelujah. Our Father and our God, which art in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the message that you shared with all of us on this day. Father, we've been doing the best that we know how to model ministry. But God, you revealed unto us today that we've got to get in touch with people. You revealed to us, Lord God, that we've been saved to model ministry and to witness. You have revealed unto us today, Lord God, that we need to understand where people are. And Father, you have revealed to us today that it is a process. And so Sunday after Sunday, week after week, when we study the word and when we have corporate worship, and God, we know it's not in vain. It is helping. But we want to do an even better job. So, Lord, we pray now that you walk with us. Pray that you strengthen us and remind us of this process, this message today. There's some folk out there that need to be brought in, that need to come home. The world is cold and the world is hateful. And we need to model that ministry in such a way that they realize there's a better way to deal with things in life. We thank you, Lord God, for WISE. We thank you that down through the years, though the way has not been easy, they've been faithful and committed to tearing down and setting up. And because of their faithfulness, you've been able to use them as a vessel. And we thank you today, Lord. We want to do whatever we can as your children, Lord God, to help everyone that we can on this campgrounds and wherever we go. God, will you do that through us? Use us, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus the Christ, we pray for everyone here to be empowered with your word, with your Holy Spirit. Fill us each and every day of our lives, that we be completely controlled by you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.